Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, the 23rd of December, 2011, and I am Bill Buckmaster. I thank you very much for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on The Voice, KVOI, AM 1030, and we are Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And our Voice Network partners, our friends in Douglas, where Cochise County residents listen to our show on 930 AM KAPR, and in Gila County, in Globe, Eastern Arizonans listen to our program on KJAA, AM 1240. We stream the show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And if you miss a particular program, all of our programs are archived at the buckmastershow.com website. You can also hear the program anytime, 24/7, at the buckmastershow.com website. Also, Tucson Sentinel.com and TucsonCitizen.com. Fridays on the Buckmaster Show, we get things going with our Friday Focus interview featuring a Southern Arizona newsmaker. Today, we welcome the Bishop of the Diocese of Tucson, Gerald Kakanis. Joining me to question Bishop Kakanis is Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. And as always, we invite you to join in the conversation on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can also submit questions at buckmastershow.com or on the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at Splendido AZ. We welcome the Bishop. Bishop, Merry Christmas. Good to see you.
Same here, Bill. Good to be with you again.
And Sarah, good to see you as well.
Nice to see you. Happy holidays.
Bishop, let's begin with the year for the diocese. How does the 12-month calendar year look financially? How are things going?
Very well, Bill. We're very grateful, especially in these terribly difficult economic times. The annual Catholic Appeal, which is our primary fundraiser to support the work and mission of the diocese, almost reached its goal. We were very close. I think the goal was 3.7. We have about 3.6, which in these economic times is really a blessing and a sign of people's willingness to share their resources generously to help the work of the church.
Give us the overview of how large this diocese is, what it encompasses. It's huge.
Geographically,
it's huge, but you also have many assets in the district.
Sure. We cover 43,000 square miles, so the diocese runs as far north as Payson on the east and Parker on the west. We go through Yuma and then all the way down the Arizona-Mexico border, places like Bisbee and Sierra Vista and Douglas. So it's a tremendously broad range, which covers the tremendous diversity that exists in the state of Arizona, from the beautiful mountains and snow that you might find in Payson to the desert scenes, of course, along the Arizona 8.
And how many parishes are in this diocese?
We have 43 parishes. Actually have just begun two new parishes, one in Maricopa, not the county of Maricopa, but the city of Maricopa, and one in Santan Valley. And we're kind of excited that we were able to purchase some new property to begin those parishes because, as you know, prior to the economic downturn and the housing crisis, this area was booming, and it was our thought that we probably had to establish about seven new parishes. Now it's slowed a bit, which is helpful because we'll be able to catch up a little bit.
Sarah, that sounds like it could be on the redistricting map.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
of yes. A very, very large redistricting.
I was just thinking about that. Who would be on the commission? And how independent would it be? But from a practical standpoint, does the diocese ever go through or the broader church ever go through reconfiguring where diocese lines are and all of that?
Sure. There are sometimes establishments of new dioceses. For example, in 1969, Phoenix became a diocese. So it's a fairly young diocese. And that was cut off from Tucson because Tucson covered pretty much the whole state of Arizona. But obviously, that's a huge geographic area. And so sometimes new dioceses are formed. And usually, like in Arizona, our dioceses are divided by counties. So that's why, for example, Tucson goes about an hour and a half north of Phoenix on the east, all the way up to Payson, because Payson is in a county that is ours, and the same with Parker. So sometimes a city may be closer to another diocese. And this is a challenge for us because some of our communities only receive Phoenix news, Phoenix newspapers, and so it's hard to create a sense of unity with the diocese because they're not media-wise connected to Tucson.
It's 10 past 12. This is the Buckmaster Show. Bishop Kakanis is with us. He is the Bishop of the Diocese of Tucson. If you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040, 790-2040. Bishop, as you know, the U.S. Catholic population is healthy. It is growing. The number of Catholics rose to nearly 78 million in the United States this year. That's up from 74 million in 2005. But the weekly mass attendance rate has fallen and is now about 31%, and that's far less in many urban areas like Boston. The fourth largest Roman Catholic archdiocese in the country, attendance there is down to only 16%. What's going on here?
Well, this, of course, is an important concern for the Church. In fact, our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, has declared 2012-2013, beginning in October of 2012 till October of 2013, a year of faith. His emphasis has been on evangelizing, bringing God's word to people who perhaps become lukewarm to their life as Christians, as Catholics. In fact, the next Synod of Bishops in Rome, which will take place in October, will be on the theme of evangelization. And the Holy Father has set up a new congregation, which is quite an amazing thing, focusing on evangelization, how to invite Catholics who have left the Church for one reason or another to come back home.
And that's something of a departure for Catholics, at least in recent times.
Yeah, well, I know that there are many reasons why Catholics are not coming more regularly to church. Certainly part of it is people working on Sundays. This is a big challenge. Sometimes taking their children to sports events that take place on Sunday, sometimes being very busy with other activities that they might be involved with. And our goal is to try to help Catholics to know that they have a place at the table of the Lord, and their absence, their empty seat, means that they're missed.
I wanted to ask, as we are, I guess this is Christmas Eve,
right.
The idea that people talk about, you know, there's a war on Christmas, that people who say happy holidays are somehow not being appropriate, that it's diluting something. I just wanted to know, is it wrong in your opinion to say happy holidays? What do you think about this whole idea of a war on Christmas?
Well, I think we have to keep a focus on what the feast means. It is the birth of Christ. A significant moment in the life of faith and church communities. And, you know, faith has nothing to do with war. We don't want to be creating divisions and conflicts. But the importance of religious liberty, which today is under great challenge, we know that religious liberty is not just a freedom to worship, but a freedom to bring our faith into the public arena. And part of our faith is rejoicing in the birth of Christ. And so for a Catholic, for a Christian to say Merry Christmas is a reminder of the significance of the day. Now, obviously not every person in a pluralistic society is a Christian, and therefore we have to respect their rights as well, and to recognize that for them this may be simply a secular holiday. But again, so it's respecting both those who may see this as simply a secular holiday, but also respecting those who see this as a significant part of their faith and certainly a significant moment with the birth of Christ.
In the political ad, you know, the political season, of course, is heating up. And the idea that in some people's minds that the people of the Christian faith are being somehow persecuted, either through not being able to do what they want to in the public square or various iterations of that. What are your thoughts about that, the whole idea that Christians as a group are being persecuted in the United States?
Well, I know I'm the chair of the board of Catholic Relief Services, and certainly one of our great concerns today is the plight of Christians in the Middle East and the ability for them as full citizens of their countries to be able to practice their faith, to live their faith in their country. This is a challenge, too, here in the United States, where sometimes laws are being convoked that violate the conscience of Catholics or another religious group. And the need for our government to respect the right of conscience, which has always been upheld in this country, the right of religious liberty has been at the cornerstone of who we are as a nation. And so today there are many challenges. For example, in Catholic Relief Services, we've had concerns that contracts may require our organization to cover the full range of reproductive services, which goes contrary to our conscience. So to put those kinds of expectations are areas that we do have questions about and do challenge, because a person of faith, a person has a right to express their faith in the marketplace and also to have their conscience respected.
It's 12, coming up on 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. The Friday Focus interview is with Bishop Gerald Kakanis. Sarah Garrett Gasson is with me from the Arizona Daily Star. Still to come, we will hear what the bishop's Christmas message is this year. Also, we'll reflect a little bit on January 8th and look ahead to this January 8th in an interfaith service, remembering the victims of January 8, 2011. Stay with us on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock.
For what it's worth.
For what? What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Firo Amori presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Firo Amori. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Firo Amori in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at firoamoripizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday Focus, the Friday before Christmas. So appropriately enough, we have the bishop with us of the Diocese of Tucson, Gerald Gacanis, and Sarah Garrett Gasson is with me, editorial writer from the Arizona Daily Star. Speaking of Christmas, what is your, every year you do a Christmas message. What is this year's message, Bishop Gacanis?
Earlier this week, I had the opportunity of celebrating Mass at the county jail, and it's always a very moving experience with the men and with the women to celebrate Eucharist in a place where one would not find much joy. But, you know, the fervor of these people, sometimes with tears, sometimes with real sadness, but they sing beautifully. And what we do is I let them create their own crib set because we don't have it, so they come up and they... One draws the stable, and somebody draws the, and of course, they're usually stick people. But and then I remind them that they are to bring themselves or things important to them to this crib set. And then on the whiteboard, I ask them what they want to bring. One lady brought, I would like tamales. And so she put her tamales up there, and another lady wanted her children up there. And one of the gentlemen wanted his family, his mother, who has been sick. And that's really the message of Christmas, that we bring our whole selves to the nativity scene and have the children's mass at the cathedral. And I've asked the children to bring something from home that they treasure that they might put at the crib as a reminder that we come together as a family around the child who was born, who brings us hope. My message this year, really in a time of real economic struggle, is that the Lord brings hope. That the Lord never abandons us in times of need or difficulty, but is always there as one to give us strength and hope, especially in times of need.
12:22 on the Buckmaster Show. I'm going to ask the bishop to slip on his headset here so we can take a call on the Buckmaster Show live line. And I think we have Charles ready to go with us. Charles, go ahead.
Hi. Bishop Gacanis, I'd like to know, when the government insists that the that organs of the Catholic Church perform certain services that are aberrant to those of the faith, and I'm not of the Catholic faith, but I respect it greatly. Will the Catholic Church basically, I guess there's no better way to say it, display the courage to actually defy the government and say, no, this is against God's word, and if we have to choose between obeying a law or obeying God's word, we don't. That's not even a big decision for us. We refuse to do this no matter what law you pass. Will the Catholic Church have the courage to do something like that?
Thank you, Charles.
Well, certainly the first effort is to dialogue, and that is currently going on with the Health and Human Services expectation that institutions provide contraceptive coverage for people who work for them. As you may know, the proposal exempts churches from having to do that. But it doesn't exempt Catholic universities or Catholic hospitals or other Catholic agencies like Catholic Community Services from doing this. So we have been trying to speak with people in the administration, and I must say there has been good cooperation in the discussions that have taken place so far. So the first step is to advocate. Sometimes that doesn't work. For example, in the state of Illinois, some of the Catholic Community Services, Catholic Charities, have had to stop doing the service that they're doing because of the demands that have been placed upon them that are violations of their conscience. So I think your question is, would the church act in civil disobedience? That's not exactly a question here, because the issue is funding. And so as the church takes its stand, the government might determine that this agency is no longer able to be funded because it is not providing the services expected. So that is not something one can defy, because, in fact, the funds would simply not be there. But hopefully, in making known why the church objects to these expectations, there might be enough public support to bring pressure on government agencies to understand that the right of conscience is at the heart of our country and therefore ought to be respected.
I wanted to ask, I guess this might be more of a philosophical question, but it kind of goes back to, as we go into the political season, and I guess it's been this way for a while, people are always judging each other and kind of evaluating each other, and what you say or think or profess one way or the other kind of a shorthand for how we look at each other. And so I guess my basic question is, can you be a good moral person and not believe in God?
Well, certainly people can live very – for example, I was at the airport the other day, and the pilot of the plane had a sign on his bag, "I am proud to be an atheist." And he greeted me as I came onto the plane. He was there to greet everyone. I mean, obviously a very gracious man, a very good man, and a responsible person. So, yes, there are people who have no faith, who are trying to live in a genuinely human, caring way. But we also believe that faith helps us to understand who we are as human beings. And so one of the things that being a part of the church calls us to is to live our lives not for ourselves but in service to others. Now, can that happen in other ways? Of course. But when one believes in a God who gave himself in love for us, it's an invitation to us to live our lives in a way that is of service to others. And certainly for me, faith has been a very profound part of who I am, and I think very much the motivation of why I live and do what I do.
We are coming up on the January 8th first anniversary of the tragic Tucson shootings. There will be an interfaith service at 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon, January 8th, and if you have if you'd like more information, they have a very good website kind of with all the activities that are planned, rememberingjanuary8.org. And I know, Bishop Kakanis, you've been instrumental in organizing this event that's coming up.
Yes, it's certainly a significant moment for our community in Tucson. The tragedies that took place now almost a year ago still are deep in the hearts of all of us. It was a time of great sadness, but also a time of tremendous hope when this community rallied together and showed who we were to the world. And so to commemorate that now will be an important moment for our community. And a number of things are being planned. The service at the cathedral at 1 o'clock will follow a effort by all the churches at 10:11, which is the time that tragedy began, to ring bells and to remind us and call us all to a remembrance and to a moment of prayer for those who died and those who were wounded or harmed in that terrible event. And then the 1 o'clock service will be an interfaith service drawing together our Jewish, Christian, and Muslim and other religious groups like the Sikhs and the Buddhists, so to try and come together from all our different faith perspectives to pray to God and to ask that this tragedy will never happen again.
Sarah, we've only got about 30 seconds. Do you have a quick question to wrap it up?
I'm just wondering if – I know a lot of people are hurting just thinking about – sorry, I'm getting a little emotional – about January 8th. Is there anything you can offer people just a word or something to kind of think about as we go into this joyful yet sorrowful season?
Some comforting thoughts
sure.
to end our session.
Well, I think obviously it was a tragedy that touched all of us in a very deep way. And I think our effort now will be to remember what took place, to hold those who have been killed in our hearts, to celebrate, in a sense, the joy that happened in this community as people came together and stood at the side of those who were harmed, and to express our belief.
Bishop Kakanis, thank you very much for being with us, and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and good luck in the new year.
Thank you very much, Bill and Sarah. It's great to be with you, and blessings to all.
Thank you very much, Bishop Gerald Kakanis. On the Buckmaster Show, we've got the Friday Roundtable coming up. Stay with us.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama has signed legislation extending a payroll tax cut for 2 months. The action concludes an end-of-year drama that had split Republicans. Nearly 24 former NFL players are suing the league over severe and permanent brain damage that they say is linked to concussions suffered on the job. A winter storm has left a thick blanket of snow over parts of New Mexico. The National Weather Service reports that parts of the state have gotten 16 inches of snow, stranding motorists, closing parts of major highways, and canceling flights for holiday travelers. On Wall Street, stocks are higher. The Dow is up about 90 points at 12,259. The NASDAQ ahead 14 points, and the S&P 500 index trading 8 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
KVOI The Voice and the Gospel Rescue Mission invite you to bring hope for the holidays to thousands of men, women, and children in Tucson. Look for us through December 23rd all around town, each day from 11 to 1. Monday at Las Casuelitas, Grand and I-10. Tuesday at Culver's on Broadway. Wednesday at Sweet Tomatoes on Wetmore and Stone. Thursday at the Hungry Fox on Broadway and Swan. And Friday at the Crossroads Restaurant, South 4th and 36th. For a complete list of Hope for the Holidays collection locations, go to kvoi.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1234 on KVOI, AM 1030, the Voice Network, over Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Each Friday afternoon, we present the Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring local journalists who weigh in on the week's top stories. Joining me today on the Friday Reporters Roundtable, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer of the Arizona Daily Star, and Dan Scheer has now joined us in studio, editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. And we welcome you at any time to join us in the conversation, 790-2040. The Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. Well, we have already said hello to Sarah Garrett Gasson, who was with us during the interview with the bishop, and now we say hello to Dan Scheer. Dan, how's it going? You all ready for Christmas?
Oh, getting there.
Yeah, got all the gifts for the kids and everything.
Getting there.
Sarah, let's begin with you, your editorial in the Star today about redistricting. Redistricting panel okays map. GOP has been unhappy with that. But what are you saying as far as the Star's position? Is it better that the people made these decisions rather than the legislature?
And in a word, yes. What we said in our editorial this morning is basically that you can disagree with how the map was ultimately drawn and approved, but there is no way you can say that this process was not open to the public. They held scores of meetings. They put transcripts and video links on their website. They were unavoidable. If you basically had to live in a cave to not know about the redistricting process and the commission. So while the ultimate maps that they came up with may be questionable in some people's eyes, the process was far better and far more open this time than last time, when you had lawmakers basically trying to do whatever they needed to do to hold on to their own seats. So it's not a perfect process. It will never be a perfect process, but it is far better than it was.
Dan, what do you think?
Completely agree with that, because the website is incredible. It was up to date. It was it had a lot of great information on there. This is the second time we've done it this way. And yeah, there have been troubles both times, but you know what? It is far better that the people are allowed to weigh in like this in a public setting time and time again, rather than the way that we did it before. Absolutely far better.
And the data shows that people did tune in.
Absolutely.
Even if you didn't go to weren't able to get to physically to a meeting, you could read the transcript of what happened. People actually sat there and watched the video of the speeches and the hearings and the back and forth. People submitted their own maps. The one thing that we did say is that it might be worth examining adding people to the commission, adding seats to the commission, because the way it was structured this time, rural Arizona was pretty much left out. And so expanding the commission, communities of interest, is something that's very important with the redistricting. So I wanted to just bring that up as another point that we had talked about.
And, you know, I think that's a really good point, but I don't think it was so much a bias against rural Arizona as it was just an ignorance of what it's like down here. And that was really stark to me, because this is the first time in this process that I have lived in somewhat of a rural area down in Sahorita, and to see the ignorance of them trying to split Green Valley and Sahorita. And it wasn't malicious. It was just, again, ignorance. And it was really kind of stunning to see. That was rectified in these latest maps.
But Cochise County as a it pretty much stays now as a single district, Dan?
Yes, that's right. And now Green Valley and Sarita, it's very interesting. We have the good news, again, is that we are in the same district. The challenge is going to be that we have lost all three members of the legislature. None of the three who represent us, including Frank Antonori, live in the proposed district. We are now lumped in with Nogales, and we're also lumped in with southern Tucson. And so what's interesting is that Green Valley and Sarita used to enjoy, the Republicans used to enjoy a 41% to 28% edge in voter registration. Now they have about a half a percentage point edge. And so this is going to be very interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
But that congressional district that's just humongous, you know, the Bishop Sarah was talking about the Diocese of Tucson going, I had no idea, by the way, it went all the way to Payson,
right,
that Payson was in the diocese of Tucson, and it, you know, it sounded like this crazy congressional district that goes all the way to the Utah border.
Yeah, it kind of horns in on some of Oro Valley and Marana, I think. And it's not, when you would look at a map of the state, that you would logically go, oh yeah, those people all have similar, you know, even climates. But it's one of these things that, I mean, the maps have to be approved by other people in the Justice Department. They're not final. So how you draw something like that on a map is a complicated process, but it sure looks weird.
It does, and I think it could have been worse, though, believe it or not. And you have to look at the population areas, and obviously, and not just where the boundaries are drawn and everything. But you know, I think this is one we can live with. It's not perfect, but it's not a bad effort.
12:40 on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. Perhaps you'd like to weigh in. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News and Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. Let's get an update now from Dan Scheer about the latest. There's been some news stories, well, a couple of news stories concerning Rosemont, the proposed mine. The mine opponents, Save the Scenic Santa Rita's, filed a SEC complaint against Rosemont's parent company. What's going on here?
They sure did. They filed it against Augusta Resource, which is a parent company for Rosemont, and they said that they had failed to disclose some information such as bankruptcies, insider trading settlement, things like that. And the complaint is with the Securities Exchange Commission and the Canadian counterpart of it. And they just say that they broke some laws over the last 10 years. Rosemont, to be fair, says, no, we didn't. But Rod Pace, the CEO, made an unfortunate comment that he said probably everything has been disclosed. And I think he said that because it's kind of hit him, broadsided him, and he wasn't quite sure. He's probably checking on it. But let's look at what really is happening here, Bill. What is happening is that Save the Scenic Santa Rita's is trying to make Rosemont look bad to potential investors, and it's really that simple. And so what their own lawyer has said, that what has gone down in these complaints could not stop the Forest Service from okaying the mine, and I think that's an important point. So they almost have this new strategy where they're either trying to scare off potential investors by making Augusta look bad, or they're going to tie it up in the courts for so long that investors are going to say it's just not worth the wait.
How about the power line? Perhaps some of our listeners saw that story. Tony Davis had the story in the Arizona Daily Star, the power line into the Santa Rita's winning an okay. What's that all about now? This will bring power to the mine, is that it?
Right. It's a 13-mile transmission line to Rosemont. This is just one of the things that the hurdles that they needed to jump. And now TEP has been given that certificate by a commission to build the line. The question is, will they build it if the Forest Service approves the mine, or will they hold off to see whether the mine is going to get tangled up in the courts? And they could do either, because actually they've got 10 years to build this thing. So they could, if they're wise, frankly, they're going to probably just hold off and see whether the mine really is going to be built, because just because the Forest Service okays it doesn't mean that we aren't going to have a lot more to be said on this.
So either of these stories, or are not, in your opinion, are not game changers.
I don't think so. And I think Save the Scenic Santa Rita's probably thought that this was. There is a report out there by an investigative reporter, I should say former investigative reporter, that there's going to be more to come out on this in the next few weeks and everything. But all it's going to do is really make Augusta look bad on a couple of points, maybe more than a couple of points, frankly. But is it enough to scare off investors? That is the question. It will not be enough for the Forest Service to say no to the mine.
12:44 on the Buckmaster Show. It is the Reporters Roundtable. We've been talking about the latest developments with Rosemont, with redistricting. Now let's turn to Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. The National Guard, Sarah, the border security mission apparently is shifting from the ground to the air.
Yeah, there's been a trend toward using different technologies, more than just people on boots on the ground, as they say. So it will be more aerial. There's, I think, drones along the border now, and it's the kind of thing that I don't know if people will consider it, since you can't really see things like that as easily as you can, perhaps, National Guard troops on the actual border. I don't know if perceptually the public will be as understanding of what they're doing, but it's just another thing that the government is doing to try to secure the border, to hold down smuggling, and to get a hold of what's going on there.
You know, Dan, it seems like every lawmaker that I interview, and we interview a lot of them on this program, are saying that immigration, it's the economy, that's the big story, going to be the big story out of the 2012 legislative session. And immigration seems to be pushed to the back burner. However, there was some poll that came out, and I can't recall right now which one it was, but it still shows that 25% of Arizona voters do believe immigration is still the number one story here in Arizona.
Well, the immigration story will always be with us, and I do believe that the economy is going to be the big issue of 2012 as we head into the election season. But at some point, that's going to ease up. But the immigration question is going to take a back seat because of the economy and because the apprehensions are at a 40-year low right now, frankly, and for whatever reason that is. I think the drawdown on the border is interesting because some people are looking at Washington and saying, do you think that this problem is solved? Is that what you're saying to us? And because it isn't. And that's why people are working hard to make sure that Washington doesn't forget about this and our own lawmakers don't. The governor certainly has, and she certainly has used it for her advantage, to her advantage in several situations. But it definitely is not going away. But I would agree, it's not going to be at the forefront this next year.
And we had this Senator Steve Smith from the community of Maricopa on the Buckmaster Show this week. He's the one who's been really pushing this send your donations in, and we will build you a border.
Wow, it's just not
border fence. Yeah. Excuse me, yeah. build you a new border. No,
yeah,
border
it's,
fence.
It's not an idea that frankly makes any logistical or practical sense. It just won't work. It's the kind of thing that makes you feel like you're doing something. It seems like you're taking action that's productive, but it's really just, frankly, I think, a waste of money. And it also, to go back just for a second between the immigration and the economy, those two things are so linked, they're inextricable. You can't talk about immigration without talking about the economy and vice versa.
Absolutely right. You know, Bill, next month at the end of January, I'm going to be heading into Mexico to look at a recycling center. And the goal of this center is to keep people from coming here. It's run by one American and one person from Mexico. And again, the goal is to show them that we can build a life here. And these were people who were routinely going over and just getting burned over in the United States for various reasons. But until we really start helping Mexico address some of these issues, we are really going to have this problem for a long time. But we're trying to build a higher fence, and I understand that. I get it. And it's just frustration and aggravation on the part of a lot of Americans. But the fact is, Mexico's a mess.
Sarah, there, the city council, Tucson City Council, by a 6-0 vote, went on record to oppose the proposed closure of the Cherry Bell Post Office Processing and Distribution Center. Sarah, some 400 jobs could be at stake here in our community, and there's going to be a public hearing on Wednesday, December the 28th. What will happen here if this indeed goes through, my understanding is all the mail, right, first-class mail, goes up to Phoenix.
Absolutely.
Right. It gets carted up to Phoenix, and sorted, and then carted right back down.
And then 3 days later, Dan Scheer gets his mail in Green Valley and Sahara.
Well, we spoke to the post office yesterday and asked that very question, and they said, yep, it could go to 2 or 3 days. And this is absolutely ridiculous. And the 400 jobs is a little questionable. I think a lot of those are union jobs. They'll be offered other positions and stuff. Whether they take them, I don't know. So we really don't know as far as that goes. But I got to tell you, this is one of the silliest things I have heard in a long time. You know, we're up, our backs are against the wall. We're losing money. Therefore, we're going to make service even worse.
I mean, we are not this small little by the side unbelievable little town here that shouldn't have a mail processing center in Tucson, Arizona.
It just makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. It does not. And that's going to do it for the Friday Reporters Roundtable. I want to wish Sarah Garrett-Gasson and Dan Scheer a very Merry Christmas. We'll see you both in the new year. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Weekend Watch next.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County.
During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Rain or shine, cold or hot, that music signals a happy weekend ahead. And of course, this is a big weekend, the Christmas weekend. Joining us now, the man we have dubbed the Culinary Cruiser, foodie about town, award-winning publicist of Matt Russell Public Communications. Matt, you have overdone it, though. I'm getting reports here about you in the Santa suit. This has really gotten to the point. You're wearing it to some of the major meetings there at Russell Communications, and you're meeting with clients in downtown Tucson, seen at luncheons and dinners, but you really have gone one step too far here. When you're headed for Maui here, wearing the Santa suit, I don't know how the security people are going to react when you're out at starting your trip at Tucson International today in a Santa suit.
I might very well be a threat to national security as I take off. You know, while you're going to be having visions of sugar plums in your head, I'm going to be having visions of Mai Tais and macadamias. Melly Kaliki Maka, Bill Buckmaster.
And as I said on your Facebook page, I know you have been dreaming about the macadamia nut ice cream that you will, that'll be the first stop for you, one of those roadside affairs over on Maui.
That won't even get to the hotel. I will stop the car, take the family out, and the macadamia dream starts right there. I can't wait.
What's going on tonight?
Tonight, for the past 8 years, our good friends over at the Fox Restaurant Concepts, they've kind of worked on a different wine every year with a different winery, and they call it the Fox Block Series. And today at 3 o'clock, up at North Modern Italian Cuisine up at La Encantada, they're going to be releasing their eighth wine, and it's actually called Fox Block 8, a lovely Pinot Noir. They're going to be releasing it today. You can have a chance to taste that from 3 to 6. And of course, while you're there, you want to take advantage of some of the great food that they have that only North is famous for. Again, as today at La Encantada at North at 3 o'clock.
Lots of folks like to go out for dinner on Christmas Eve, and the Buckmaster is no exception to that. There will be many choices. What are you looking at, Matt?
Indeed. For Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, two great options for your listeners. Jonathan's Cork is my pick for Christmas Eve dinner. He's going to start things at 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve. In addition to his regular menu, Bill, he's going to be featuring holiday specials like cranberry and apple stuffed pork chops, or how about sea bass with a crab cream sauce. Jonathan Landine, one of the great iconic chefs in Southern Arizona. Christmas Eve at Jonathan's, up on Tancredi at the top of Restaurant Row.
Well, my pick will be for Christmas Eve, the Arizona Inn, Matt, and of course the Inn getting some fantastic publicity. We are so happy for Will Conroy and Patty Doerr over at the Inn, and we're so thankful they're a sponsor of the Buckmaster Show. But this is a huge honor, one of the best 500 hotels on the planet by Travel and Leisure magazine. The Inn is the only hotel in Tucson to receive that honor.
You know, well-earned. I mean, you think about the Arizona Inn, it's a destination property. It's not, you can't even call it a resort or a hotel. It's a destination. It's a customer service encounter. The meals there, the meeting opportunities there, one of the great pools, the botanical gardens. I mean, it is a destination opportunity. We love the Arizona Inn.
And they've got a fantastic Christmas tree, too, in the library.
One of the best places, I think, in the country is that fireplace with that huge Christmas tree surrounded by floor-to-ceiling books. I love the library.
And then, of course, eating out on Christmas Day is always fun.
If you want to have someone else do the work, my suggestion on Christmas Day is our good friend Pat Connors from Pastiche on North Campbell. He's going to be hosting a delicious Christmas dinner, getting things underway at about 4 o'clock on Christmas Day. Some gorgeous entrees, Bill, like a seared duck breast with risotto. I'm hearing a lot about the grilled New Zealand lamb chops with sun-dried cherries. Christmas dinner at Pastis just simply can't be beat.
Well, this is going to be our last weekend watch of 2011. We'll look forward to seeing you in 2012. Next week, we will be expanding our Reporters Roundtable, kind of a year-end edition, giving the culinary cruiser the Friday off as he enjoys the sun and fun in Maui. Matt, we want to really thank you for your support of the Buckmaster Show. It's been a great year. Looking forward to another good one, and congratulations again to you and your team at Matt Russell Public Communications. Did a great job.
Thank you so much, Bill. Happy holidays to you and your whole team out there.
Thanks a lot. Matt Russell with us on The Buckmaster Show. Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show is presented, and the Reporters Roundtable and Weekend Watch by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at splendidoaz.net. The Buckmaster Show is also brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger, and Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Team Buckmaster, remember, it only takes two to be a team. Our producer, Rosemary Brandt, and I are wishing you a wonderful, a safe, Merry Christmas. We will be here next week, with the exception of Monday. We have a best of program, but we're live Tuesday through Friday of next week. So have a great Christmas weekend, and we will be talking with you next week.
Ten thirty KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 9:30 KAPR, Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.